You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
We often think of prisons as places for dangerous criminals, yet more and more young women and girls end up staying behind bars simply because no other means exist to protect them. Justice for Girls works on behalf of girls involved in the criminal justice system in British Columbia. Asia Chapska is an advocate with Justice for Girls, and she joins me on the line to tell us about the situations faced by girls in the legal and prison systems. Hello, Asia.
Hi, thanks for talking to us, Carol, today.
What's the situation of young women and girls who are sent before BC courts and BC prisons? Why are they there?
Well, that's a really important question to ask. Basically, despite, you know, some public perception about like growing youth crime and ideas like that, generally girls are put into prison more for their own protection than to protect other people from them. So in years that we've watched youth court, in years that we've worked with young women that are incarcerated at, for instance, Burnaby Youth Custody Center, many of the cases and many of the cases we've watched and many of the girls we've worked with have been incarcerated because either they're awaiting treatment, so there's like 2 weeks before a treatment bed opens up, and the court feels that it should protect those young women, and it keeps them in jail so that they will go to treatment at the end of those 2 weeks. Also, young women are definitely incarcerated for petty crimes, for just, you know, being in a stolen vehicle, things like that. So generally, a lot of young women are in for pretty minor things. Breaches are huge, because what happens is that once girls do have an original charge and then they have conditions placed on them, often those conditions have to do with trying to protect the girls once again. So they'll have conditions like no go to the downtown east side because people think that that's where they're using drugs. So if they go into the downtown east side, they're breached and they might go back to jail again. So basically just a lot of things that have to do with trying to protect girls rather than trying to protect society from girls. That's not usually what girls are incarcerated for. So that's kind of...
And so based on the crimes alone, yeah, they wouldn't generally be sent to prison, but it's because there's no either accommodation or other services?
It's more like... there definitely aren't like some of the services. Like, there's very little treatment that's for girls only. There is very little housing. There's actually almost no housing, I believe, for girls that is girls only, for girls that are on the street. Almost everything out there is coeducational. So in a way, yes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think if the courts did have like more programs and more places that were voluntary for girls, then those would be used by girls. But what happens is that a lot of things are not voluntary. Treatment centers are, you know, sometimes attached to probation, so that if girls are on a probation order, they can be mandated into treatment, things like that. So a lot of the problem is too that some of the programs that are there are not voluntary, and they really need to be for them to work for girls.
What kind of situations do girls face once they are in custody?
Honestly, so many issues of just breaches of girls' rights once they are in custody. I mean, everything from, you know, right now we're working around three actually issues mainly. Until recently, girls were shackled during sacred sweat lodge ceremonies at the Burnaby Youth Custody Center, and Justice for Girls, along with several First Nations organizations, got together, and we basically challenged that policy because we saw that it was clearly racist and wrong, and just completely demeaning to the young people in the sweat lodge. I haven't mentioned yet, but I mean, about 50% or more of the girls, like 58% of the girls that are in custody, are First Nations in BC. That's huge. I mean, there's a fairly small population of First Nations girls, and yet 58% of girls in custody are Aboriginal. So one of the big issues we were working around was stopping the shackling policy. And we successfully did that. In the end, the Ministry of Children and Families removed that policy from their practices. And that was something that had been there for years. So, you know, with with other organizations. We really came together well and stopped that. And to the other bigger issues are also that are still issues now, because that one was more resolved, is that girls are incarcerated with young men. So oftentimes, especially in places like Prince George and Victoria, what happens is that that there are boys' units, and generally if there's one or two girls that are in custody, then they're put on the boys' units, and they're basically with possibly 10, 11, 12 boys on a unit. So we really have a problem with that. We think that's not safe, and we know it's not safe, actually. I mean, there have been studies that have said that, you know, that girls experience sexual assault in custody in B.C., one of our studies found that, and also the McCreary Center Society's studies found that. So that's definitely a problem. Also, just a huge amount of sexual harassment that girls experience in custody because they're incarcerated with young men and because they're incarcerated and supervised by male guards, which we also have a huge problem with. And we don't think that that male guards should be supervising young women that are incarcerated. You know, they're allowed to do pat-downs on young women. We think that's very wrong. Especially because so many of the girls that are in custody have experienced sexual abuse. So those are some of the issues that we've been working around.
How have young women been affected by these kinds of experiences?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I think definitely, I think the shackling policy was pretty brutal. I think, you know, the effect for an Aboriginal girl to be shackled during a sacred ceremony is pretty horrific. I think that the effect on them was pretty strong of that. I think that was a really demeaning practice. And I think as far as the sexual harassment, I think a lot of girls are, I think it just compounds the stuff that they've been through already, really. Like, it's just one more place, really, where they're not safe. So it's definitely not an easy place to be. There's so many issues within the prison. I mean, just everything, just from access to lawyers, you know, from just being girls having easy access to use the phones to call their lawyer or things like that. Just, there's so many things that are hard for them.
Justice for Girls was part of a group of BC organizations who made a presentation before the United Nations Committee on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights this spring.
Yep.
What message did you have for the committee?
Well, you know, we really went with two big messages. One of them was to alert the committee to the huge problem of violence against Aboriginal girls. So Angela Sterrett from Justice for Girls spoke amazingly about violence in the lives of Aboriginal girls and how the police and the courts don't respond well enough, and then how girls are really paying such a huge price for that. And I spoke about homelessness, and we basically told the committee that, you know, that often sexual abuse and the home and racism, a whole bunch of issues, force girls onto the street, and that girls become homeless, and that once they're homeless in Canada, there's very little for them. Basically, they're left with a bunch of co-ed and often unsafe situations. They're left with, you know, group homes and with safe houses that are co-educational. And oftentimes girls, you know, end up living with older men to have a place to stay, things like that. So that's basically what we spoke with them about.
Did you make any specific recommendations for change?
Yeah, we did. You know, in the end, the committee, we were actually really happy because the committee did make a comment about girl homelessness in Canada, which is huge. Like, that was you know, one of our primary reasons for being there, for them to actually tell Canada and to tell people in Canada really that there's a problem. And that's what they did. They said that girl homelessness is a problem in Canada and that Canada needs to make specific programs for girls that are homeless, including prevention, obviously, programs. And so so that was one of our big recommendations. I mean, a lot of our recommendations around the homelessness stuff have to do with the government needs to do more to stop sexual abuse of children and to investigate for children's ministries to really investigate well cases of abuse. And we certainly know in BC that, that there's a problem with the child welfare system, and definitely in other provinces and in the states and just around the world, I think, really. But the committee did, once again, in the end, make a really strong recommendation to Canada, so we were really happy with that.
Have you had any positive response from either the governments of Canada or British Columbia?
We haven't, you know, that's the next part of our strategy is to actually to go, this just happened in late May, kind of that the committee came out with its comments. That's our next part of our strategy is to actually go to the government. I mean, obviously they know that these were the recommendations and that that's what the committee said, but our next part of work is to actually go to the government with the recommendations and to say, you know, this is what the UN has said, what are you going to do about it? So that's our next step. So we'll keep you updated on how that goes.
Good, and that's my next question actually is where can people go if they want to find out more information or if they want to get involved in prison justice campaigning?
I think a couple of great things, you know, people, you know, just like you were talking about Prisoner Justice Day. So I think I know that they have a website also, so they search Prisoner Justice Day. Also, Justice for Girls has a website at www.justiceforgirls.org. And also, I think the Canadian Association of Elizabeth Fry Societies has a really excellent website about prison issues for adult women. So I would say that that's the best place to go for information about imprisonment of adult women.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
I've been speaking with Asia Chapska. If you want more information, you can also go to www.prisonjustice.ca. And so Asia Chapska is an advocate at Justice for Girls, one of the groups attending the Prison Justice Day event this August 10th at Trout Lake.